Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, this is Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And so the Yankees were unable to score more than two runs last night, and their season is over. Perhaps the biggest loss was that we didn't get to hear flappy-mouthed bombast coming from Yankee announcer John Sterling telling us, "The Yankees win!" And we also didn't get to hear that the city wins, the Bronx wins. At least that's how I understand the economic picture based on such headlines as, each American League Championship Series home game could bring $12.5 million to the city, according to the Economic Development Council. You know what? Those figures might not be entirely accurate. Or actually, they may be accurate, but way insufficient. Because for every $12.6 million injected, what about the spending that doesn't happen when people don't go to the movies in order to stay home and watch the Yankee game? That's just one of the factors that's looked at by Robert Boddy, professor of economics at Lake Forest College. He is an innovator and one of the leading voices in the field of studying sports and stadium finances. Professor Boddy, welcome to WNYC.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here.
And I have to tell you, I'm a sports reporter in my regular life, and I've done report after report on this, and I rarely see any compelling evidence telling me that stadiums are a good public investment or that they inject much measurable money into the economy. So what about that claim that had the Yankees continued in the playoffs, the city would be getting, you know, $12 million more per game?
Well, I think that you really need to take a much more sober approach, and I think you need to recognize things that are really couched in common sense. This is not the most difficult kind of study economists undertake. I think that common sense would indicate that if you're spending more money spectating at a playoff game, less money is being spent elsewhere in the New York economy, and that would be true, certainly, if the people that attend the playoff games are New Yorkers. And so as long as they're residents of the community, we simply change the locus of spending without changing overall spending. And so I think people have limited budgets, both in terms of time and money. And if they're spending more money spectating at a playoff game, there's less money being spent elsewhere in the New York economy. And so you've got a substantial substitution effect, and what we see is that where discretionary spending is concerned, it's reallocated primarily within the entertainment industry. So you mentioned in the preamble to our show that, people don't go to the movies, they don't do other things if they're spectating at a professional sports event, and that's the reality of what it is that we would see with playoff games.
Now, is it the case, I mean, can you say that $12.5 million is injected in the economy if you just totaled the till at the turnstile and the couple thousand stadium workers who wouldn't be getting paid if the stadium were dark as it's going to be? And you look at the bars up there in the Bronx, and of course, those bars are only going to get like 100 times less business now that there's no Yankee game. So maybe the on the plus side of the ledger, $12.5 million seems about right. Could that be accurate?
No. I think that if you move that decimal point one place to the left, you probably have a much more accurate assessment of what's going on. But again, for the reasons that I described earlier, and you can make the argument that, when we're talking about a playoff game, we've got a lot of people coming into New York from the outside. So we've got press, we've got people from the city in which the other playoff team is located. But, you know, that cuts both ways. And so if you've got people coming to New York from other cities and from the press corps, you've got the press corps leaving New York and going to the rivals' home stadium. And so ultimately, these things tend to be quite a wash. It's not as if the amount of money that you spend for a ticket and the amount of money that you spend for concessions is new spending. As I said before, it substitutes for a lot of other spending that would occur. And in addition addition to that, when you think about, well, all right, so suppose we have a hotel boost, which I kind of doubt, because in many cases, when you've got people coming in for a playoff game, it may be that they're just displacing people that would otherwise come. So if the hotel rooms are full and you really have to look at occupancy statistics, it may be that you've got one group of people replacing another group of people. So in a net sense, nothing has changed. And then even with regard to, let's say, boosts that do occur in local spending, where do they finally go? Where does the additional money finally go if it doesn't stay in the city, if it's repatriated by the athletes who participate in whatever sporting event we're talking about to their primary residences, then the money doesn't even stay in the community. So the devil's in the details on this stuff. You really have to consider all the financial inflows and outflows. And when you do that, a much more sober appraisal of what it is that playoff games do for a city is at hand.
What about just the taxes taken out of the players' paychecks?
Well, yeah, and some of those taxes are federal. And so when you're in the tax bracket some players are, I think there are federal taxes. And then, of course, there are state and local taxes as well. That's a plus. But, we've already cited many reasons for why you might want to move that decimal place 1 point to the left. And so if you do move it 1 point to the left, it's going to affect taxes as well. And so whatever it is that the city and the state experience in the way of additional revenues, if the impact is less, of course, the tax revenues are going to be less.
Yeah, I'll also throw another huge caveat in there in that the player's postseason salary,
yes,
it's not an extension of their regular salary. It comes from a bonus pool, which is much less than a guy like A-Rod usually gets. In fact, they give the players money based on a percent of the total gate receipts from the stadium.
Right.
So we were already counting the gate receipts as a plus for the economy, can't count it again when it turns out to be taxes from a player's. My point there is that playoff money might actually be less than just a sold-out regular season game money.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And so and all those things play into what it is that we're describing. So, of course, playoff games have great emotional moment. I think that owners and players, of course, are going to use the excitement that is generated to make economic arguments that justify what it is that we see in the way of public subsidies for sports facilities all over the country.
This is Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer. We're talking about how much the playoffs would have been worth. Maybe we dodged a bullet, it turns out, as Robert Boddy, economics professor at Wake Forest College, is Lake Forest, right?
Lake Forest.
Informing us, and that's in Illinois. One of the arguments that the defenders of, or maybe, people on the development councils or with the teams themselves sometimes put forward is that there is a marketing value to showing your city on TV. A great counter argument to that is think back to the 1978 World Series. Howard Cosell takes that blimp shot of Yankee Stadium, says the immortal words, "The Bronx is burning." And what about the negative costs of that marketing? But if we take that as true, if we say that the marketing value can cut both ways, maybe you could say that now that the area around Yankee Stadium is really nice and now that, New York has experienced an economic renaissance, at least from the 70s, maybe showing this stuff on TV does have more of a marketing value. Anything to that, do you think?
Well, I think that in the case of a city like New York, how much of a surprise is there really for the audience viewing the game and seeing the New York City skyline? I think that it's not as if New York is going to be newly discovered. I think that people know New York. And so the advertising value, shots of the city skyline, sure. I mean, they're impressive while they're happening. But the people that are going to New York are not going to go to New York because they're unfamiliar with the skyline. And so I think that arguments like that are specious at best. I think that if you're doing Olympic Games and things like that and you're looking at a city like Barcelona, maybe. But I think looking at New York is a different sort of thing, and not one where we can expect significant additional economic impact, because now people are familiar with a city that previously they had been unfamiliar with.
Yeah, I'm willing to believe that the Jay-Z song gave a lot bigger boost, which mentions the Yankees, to New York's image, than a playoff series.
Right. Yeah.
Well, what about, you know, I'm trying to find some silver linings. What about minor league teams? What about a well-run AA or AAA team, maybe even a smaller team like in Staten Island? It seems like the Brooklyn Cyclones, that's a great stadium experience, at least in the area around it, is getting a little better. Has any research been done on the smaller scale benefits of sports?
There is something to indicate that there is a scale factor. If you're talking about, let's say, a AAA franchise west of the Mississippi, where people have to travel great distances to view something in the way of professional baseball or what have you, then maybe it does have an impact. But we're talking about the densely populated eastern part of the United States, where most fans come from a radius within 25 miles, and that would apply to the minor leagues and the major leagues. So if you're going to really have the stadium or the team give a host city a boost, it has to be that you're encouraging people from coming, people who are non-residents, spending money in the city that would not otherwise spend money in the city, or you have to somehow keep spending within the city. So if you have a major league franchise or even a AAA franchise or a minor league team of some note, then maybe it keeps fans in the community and they spend their money in the community that would otherwise leave the community if they wanted something in the way of a professional sports experience. And so in the case of New York, though, I don't think that applies. When you talk about the minor league teams in New York, again, they're probably residents of the community that are viewing the game. You certainly have a large population from which to draw, and it's unlikely that fans are coming to a minor league game in New York from any appreciable distance. So, unfortunately, that argument doesn't quite work in the case of New York. But
maybe the Hannibal, Missouri Cavemen, or the Savannah Sand Gnats, or the Asheville Taurus, or the Hickory Crawdads.
Exactly. I mean, there's more likely to be something to that argument in places like that than in New York City.
And do the people who do what you do, are there any exceptions? Are there any, I mean, I've been to Seattle, and at least during game day, it seems to have revitalized a area of the town that wasn't really doing anything, a former warehouse district. Any exceptions that people point to as saying that's doing pretty well?
I think that it's always going to be the case that the research has to, of course, be specific to the community. There are some general principles that do apply. But, yeah, there are some places that do better with professional sports from an economics perspective than other places. So, but there isn't – the amazing thing is how consistent these results are. I mean, economists from all stripes – have basically concluded that professional sports provides little, if anything, in the way of economic impact. And so it applies even to events as large as the Summer Olympic Games. And so playoff games, World Series, even the Super Bowl, which is a much ballyhooed economic generator, fall short of what it is that boosts provide in the way of estimates. And you know, that's not surprising. I think, again, if you move that decimal point one place to the left, you're far more likely to provide an accurate assessment.
We got to end it there. Robert Boddy of Lake Forest, move that decimal point to the left. Thanks a lot.